If you would go ahead and pull out your message notes, on the top they say God's word to workaholics. People are already pointing fingers. That's great. This one's for you. Listen up. We've been going through a series called 10 Practices for Effective Families. We're talking about some practices that God laid out with his early community in an agreement with him on how to live a blessed life. And he gave 10 practices. The first four had to do with how to love him better. How to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we're finishing up that section. Next week, a new section starts with how to love other people, how to love others. And there's 6 practices that we'll be focusing on to increase the effectiveness of your relationships with other people and your family's relationships with other people. But we are ending the section on God right now. 3 weeks ago, we talked about having no other gods except God, making God the center of all things in your life. Then we followed up with talking about things we use to replace God in our lives and making God number one and not having any other competition when it comes to having him as number one. Last week we talked about how we honor God's name with our mouths. Well, we're going to continue and finish this section with how we honor God with our bodies, with our energy, with our minds, with our strength. And it's just interesting that when God laid out the practices to honor him in this agreement, this is number 4. So that's, if you look at the top of your outline, I'll read out loud. It's from Exodus 20, the 4th practice. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That right there is the 4th practice, and it needs some explanation. The first thing is talking about, what does the word Sabbath mean? What is God talking about here in the practice? So if you're taking notes, Sabbath means a day of stopping. A day of stopping. It means no matter what you're doing in your week, God wants you to take a day off just to stop. Another way of saying this is a day of resting. A day for you to take off and just stop and rest. Now, you can get kind of crazy with this commandment, and we'll go into a little bit how we can get crazy. But what I want to say is that Jesus tells us that God gave this to you and me for our benefit. It's a gift from God. God is actually asking you on a regular basis, once a week, to rest. That's a gift. God is saying, you might think you need to work for me all the time and work really hard, but I'm saying I want to give a gift to you. It's a day of rest. And so Jesus says that the Sabbath was not, sorry, the Sabbath, he did this for you in your outline. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So God is saying, this is a gift for you. You weren't a gift to the Sabbath, but I'm giving you a special day because I want to give you a gift. Once a week, I want you to rest. So the question is, when is the Sabbath? When should we take this time off to rest? And this answer may surprise you, so hold on. The answer is this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let me explain a little bit why I say this. What's most important is that you have a day once a week that you stop and rest. Now, traditionally, Christians celebrate this day on Sunday. This is why we're here today. Traditionally, Christians celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. But historically, the Jewish people celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. And Jews to this day, if they're observing their faith, take Saturday as their day of rest. Well, what happened is the early Jewish followers who believed in Jesus began to switch the day because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so over time, and the Bible never explicitly says you must have your Sabbath on Sunday, but traditionally Christians switched the day to Sunday because it was a day to remember and celebrate when Jesus rose from the dead. And so historically, Christians have celebrated on Sunday. In fact, the one time in the Bible that Sunday is mentioned as the day is in Revelation when John mentioned Sunday as the Lord's Day. But nowhere in the Bible does God command that Sunday is your day of Sabbath. For most of us, it makes sense that that's the day. Our work week is arranged about that. Sundays have church. But I want you to know that the principle is that one day a week, you take a day off, and it's called the Sabbath day. In Romans 14, in your outline, it says, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. And this is one thing where we can get legalistic about which day it is. Now, again, you want to do what most makes sense for you. And in our society, Sunday makes the most sense. But there are some people that it doesn't make sense for. For example, me. Sunday is a work day for me. As a pastor, that's my work day, and that's not anything bad. That's what I do, and I love it. But it's not a restful day for me. So I take Fridays as my Sabbath. And most pastors will do a Friday or a Monday as their Sabbath day because for Sunday is a work day. Some of you have work schedules that make it that you need to work on Sundays. But the important thing is, do you have a day once a week where you're saying, I'm carving this aside, day aside, for rest to God? For most of us, Sunday makes the most sense. Does that make sense? So the question is, what do you do on your Sabbath? How do I keep it holy? So let me first ask you, do you think that having a regular day off for you and your family would help your family? Do you think just setting aside a day, clearing it off to rest with your family and to spend time with them would be beneficial? That's a gift from God to you. He's saying, if you want to have an effective family, make this practice a regular part of your weekly cycle, your weekly system. Now, the scripture says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, we've talked about this in the past, but the word holy means set apart. So if you want to imagine that you have 7 days in your pocket, your back pocket, you know, maybe you want to represent the 7 days of your mind as 7 coins. God is saying, of those 7 coins, take one of those coins and put it aside. Because that day, that coin is a special day. You want to do something different with it than your other days. So your other days, work hard, do your things. That one day, keep it special, keep it holy. It's got to be different from the rest of your days. Put it somewhere else, set it apart. So I want to talk about how do we set that special day aside. We're going to talk as though that day is Sunday, but like I said, it may depend on you. But let's talk as though that day is Sunday. How do you make it special? So we're going to talk about 3 ways you can use your day to make it holy and follow this practice. The first is this, if you're taking notes. Use the day to rest my body. Use the day to rest my body. This practice says you shall not do any work on this day, and that you shall rest on this day. This is so important that God modeled it. If you guys remember the creation story from Genesis, it said that God created everything in 6 days, and on the 7th day, he rested. Now let me ask you, did God need to rest, really? Does God get tired? No. I think he was doing that to model something from us, that from the beginning of creation, he wanted to model a cycle for us, to work hard for 6 days, and then take another day off and rest. There are a lot of things that make it hard for us to take a day off for rest, for God, to rest your bodies. You know, there's more money you might want to make, so you want to work that day. There's more recognition you might want to wake, and so you work really hard. You might have a hard time stopping and not achieving. You need to accomplish. But all these things, God says, it's okay to do those things. Work is from God. But one day, stop from what you're doing. Our society always says that to stop and rest is lazy and irresponsible. But God says, no, it's a gift. Work is from God too. Now, I could do a sermon on working 6 days. I won't do that. But we are to work hard. But on that 7th day, it's supposed to be special to God. So the first principle is whatever you do for a living, stop for a day a week and rest. Rest your body on the Sabbath. Now, I've discovered that for those of us who have a hard time taking a day off from work to rest, if we don't do it for ourselves, it will come to us, whether we like it or not, through a visit in the hospital. If you keep working, if you keep driving yourself, your Sabbath will not be one day, but several weeks in a hospital. Because God understands that we are meant to work on cycles. We work hard, and we stop and take a breather. We work hard, and we stop to take a breather. Now, I'm not a weightlifter, as you guys can tell. But for those of you who might know things about weights, you don't keep lifting weights nonstop. You lift, you take a break. You lift, you take a break. Because if you keep lifting, you hurt yourself. And God is saying that's the same thing about your work week. If you keep going, it works against how he wired you. And he wants you to have a cyclic stop once a week to just rest your body. Now, a couple side notes for us. One is that I know that we are in very hard economic times, and many of us are actually unemployed right now. And so you might be thinking, I rest all the time, Pastor John. That's not my issue. I was unemployed for one season for 3 months, and the best advice I got is that when you're unemployed, your full-time job becomes looking for a job. Make that your work. And you're thinking, but that's exhausting. Yeah, it is exhausting. I remember looking for a job is a lot of work because you have no one outside motivating you. It's always you saying, I need to go look. So it's tiring, but that's your work for right now. Look for a job. But even in the midst of that, take a day off from that. Rest. God wants you to rest your body. The other thing that people can do a little crazy things with this, and Jesus dealt with this in his day, is that you can go really crazy with making this a very legalistic commandment. Because you begin to ask the question, well, what counts for work? I mean, what counts? I mean, if I work on my house, is that work? If I take a walk, is that work? And the Jews during Jesus' day started to make these extra rules to protect people from working too much. So they had something called a Sabbath day walk. They actually defined how long you're allowed to walk on the Sabbath day. If you go to Israel today and you go to a hotel, they have a Sabbath elevator. You walk in, the elevator goes up and down, and you don't have to press any buttons. Because to press the button would be too much work. I'm not kidding. They have Sabbath day elevators, and they just stop on each floor so you don't have to press the button. Because you can go crazy trying to find what is work and what is not. And when you start going into that, you miss the point. This is a gift from God to you. You are not made to serve the Sabbath, but God gave it to you so he could serve you. So if you're in a growth group, you're going to notice that some of your questions for this week's growth group have questions to do with, well, what do you find restful? For some of you, working on a house project is actually very, very therapeutic. And that might be rest for you. For others of you, you're like, that's what I do all week. I don't want to do that. I'm going to stop. So the question is, how has God wired you for rest? We're not going to be following each other on Saturdays or Sundays going, ooh, you know, you worked a little too hard. You know, oh, did you make your meal today? Shame on you. You should have bought out at McDonald's. You know, that's not the point. The point is that you need rest. God gave that to you, and it's a gift for you. Make sense? The other thing, though, if you just rest physically, that won't be enough. That's not all God intended for this day. The reality is you can rest physically, but still be very emotionally tired afterwards. I've taken vacations before where I've come back just as tired, even though I slept all week. Because the reality is we have emotional needs as well. And emotionally, we need rest as well. And so these next 2 points talk about some of our emotional and spiritual needs that we need to take care of during our Sabbath. Because it's not just about physical fatigue and tiredness, but it's also emotional fatigue. So the second thing is this. Use the day to recharge my emotions. Use the day to recharge my emotions. It's interesting that when God gave the Israelites this practice, he mentioned this is not a commandment given to a person by himself or herself, but he says, this is for you, for your children, for those who work in your house, and he made this list. This is a community thing. And so one of the things I want to say is one way to recharge your emotions on your Sabbath day is to spend quality time with your family. To spend quality time with your family. For some of you, that's just your spouse. For some of you, it's your spouse and kids. For some of you who are single, it's your friends who make up your family. But you have people around you that God wants you just to spend quality time with. And could you imagine living a life where once a week you set aside time not only to rest physically, but to get quality time with your family? Will you just set that aside? That would just do amazing things. And God says, that's my gift to you. That when you rest, it's not just you, but it's your servants, your family, all those in your household. Do this together. Enjoy time off. It's my gift to you. Secondly, you want to include time with your family. You want to include time for fellowship with your church family. And that's why Sundays make sense for most of us to have our Sabbath. You need time with other believers, other people who love God, because we draw strength from just being together and encouraging each other. I can't tell you how many times that people have come to me after church and said, you know, John, I woke up this morning and I was not going to go to church. You know, I was too tired, I worked late last night, but then they say, but I was so glad I came. Have you guys had that experience? Where you're like, it was hard to get here, because there's something about just being together and being around each other and encouraging one another that really lifts us up and restores our emotions. You know, the practice says that not only should your family be part of this, but everyone in your gates. If you look at the commandment, it says not only your animals, so your cats and dogs too, you guys, but everyone in your gates. Back then, the gates was your city. And so back then, the city would just stop and rest together and spend time with one another. Now, we live in a different age. We're not going to call all of Pittsburgh and Antioch and say, hey, let's get together. But it is about our community, and our community here is a church. So there's something about just hanging out together that really does restore us. This isn't in your outline, but Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Hebrews 10:25. Instead, let us encourage one another. Because there's something about being together that's incredibly encouraging. I love how David in Psalm 122 says, I was so glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Excuse me as I adjust this. He's just so excited. I get to go where God's people are. Because there's something about just celebrating together. When you read about the church in the early New Testament, church was an all-day event for them. They would go worship together, but then after church, they would go, hey, you want to come over for a meal? And they would just eat a lot. And after they ate the meal, they went out and did something fun together. It was just being together. And I think that would be a great practice for us, you guys. I want to encourage you that after church, you may want to think with your family, who can we invite over for dinner or lunch today? Or who can we go out to a meal with today? But there's something about just hanging out together on the Sabbath day that's really good news. So I want to encourage you to think about the day, not only just to go to church and do your own thing, but who can we have over? Who can we go out to lunch with? Call them up. Or make it spontaneous as people are leaving church. Hey, we're going to go to IHOP. You want to come with us? Although IHOP's really crowded after church, so don't go there. Las Panchitas, whatever it is. We have a lot of local stuff around us. But the idea is you want to be hanging, and some of those fun times happen in the smaller things of a meal together. This isn't in the practice, but I just want to add one more tip when it comes to recharging your emotions, just from personal experience, and that's include time for quietness when you want to recharge your emotions. There's something about just hanging out together, and that's really good, but many of us just need time alone. Could be going to a cafe or getting some time in your room just to silence yourself, be quiet before God, talk to Him about how your week is going, how you're feeling. But those quiet times are very important too for recharging your emotions. Here's a third way to use the day. Use the day to refocus my spirit. Use the day to refocus my spirit. This is a day, the Sabbath day is a day for you to tune in to God. And though it's my last point, I think it's probably the most important thing about your Sabbath day. That's your Sunday is the main day to worship, to focus yourself on God, a time to get together and remember what's important, a time to remember the big picture of why God has you here. You need to be focused again, and just remember that there's something about worshiping God that helps you not only remember who God is, but helps you remember and say, oh yeah, this is what life's about. I've been getting caught up with all this other stuff, but just stopping and focusing and rejuvenating your spirit and refocusing helps you remember that this is what it's about. The practice says it's a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. So there's something about just worshiping God on that day to remember who you are and what it's about. And you know, we miss this because we think vacation means just getting away from work. But like I said earlier, when you just see it that way, you'll be just as tired when you get back. Real rest involves resting your emotions, but also refocusing your spirit. Refocusing on God. It means saying, God, even when I'm taking a break, you're on my mind. And I want to spend some time thinking about you. The problem is, if you work hard and play hard, then work hard and play hard, then work hard and play hard, you're going to think that life is only about working hard and playing hard. And after a while, you forget there's a purpose that God has for you. It's bigger than just work and play. You have a calling on your life. And there's something about just stopping and refocusing that reminds you that life is bigger than work. life is bigger than play. It's about Him. It's about worshiping Him. And so it's important to use the day to refocus your spirit. Jesus says it this way in Mark 8, and this isn't your outline either, but it says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" You guys, if we just go and work and play and work and play, there's going to come a moment in your life where you just forget what you're living for. You're going to forget why God has you here. It's so helpful just to stop and refocus on God. I had friends growing up who made lots of money, who played really hard. Their vacations were extravagant. But I remember looking one friend in the eye and saying, "This is all great, but what are you living for? What's your greater purpose in life?" And he just looked at me blankly because he realized that he was resting, he was playing, he was working, but he was not focusing on God. And so we want to spend time refocusing on God. God wants you to re-examine your priorities on your Sabbath, reevaluate your life, regroup, relax, tune into Him, get perspective. And so it's a time to worship, and we need that every 7 days. Dads, I want to talk to you just for a second. If you want a real practical way to be the spiritual leader in your home, if you want a real practical way to lead your family in these practices, it's real, real simple. Make worshiping on Sundays a priority for your family. Go to church with your family. Whether or not we like it, dads, our kids learn a lot more from what we do than what we say. So we can talk about God as much as we want, but they're watching us. Our kids are watching us. And when we prioritize focusing on Jesus on the Sabbath, if we prioritize worship, they catch that. Becky and I were talking about our Hawaii vacation. We talked about, you know what? We're not even going with our kids. They don't see this, but who cares? We're going to go. And on Sunday when we're on vacation in Hawaii, we're going to go find a church to worship. Because that's who we are. Because it's the Sabbath. So I want to encourage you, when you take vacations, when you go out to cabins or camping or wherever you go, still see the Sabbath as a day of a place to focus on God. Find a local church. Celebrate with brothers and sisters in other parts of the country and encourage them. Because we're all part of the same team. We're part of the same family. And it means that the Sabbath is dedicated to God. We refocus. Make sense? So dads, when you're on vacation, say, "You know what, family? I know we're resting, but we're going to find a church Sunday morning. Let's go visit one. Yeah, it's not as good as Edgewater, but that's okay. We're going to go find it." Don't tell them I said that. But that's what we're going to do. You know, again, it's not what you teach your kids, but it's what you model them. And they catch on to that. So every time you say that we're going to go to church, they recognize that. They pick that up. And you're modeling consistency to your family. Again, it is amazing to me that when God says, "Here's a way to be effective with me and your family," He mentioned rest as number 4. It's a real gift. Christians, we've downplayed this commandment a lot. We've forgotten about it. But it's still a commandment. It's on the same. It comes before "do not murder." Isn't that amazing? God spends more time describing this commandment than the "do not murder" commandment that's going to come later, the "do not steal." This is so important to Him. For us, because it's a gift He gives us. And like any gift He gives us, it doesn't come automatic. We have to unwrap it and receive it. And so use the day once a week. Make it a pattern in your life to stop. To rest your body. Recharge your emotions and refocus on God. And do that with your family. And it will be a blessing to you and your family. A couple other thoughts before we close. This one is, we don't enforce this practice on people who don't follow God. You have to realize that God gave these practices to people who were in an agreement with Him. He was saying, "You know what, I have chosen you, you have chosen me, let's make an agreement." So when we see our society doing all kinds of things on Sundays, we say, "Oh well," because the same things don't apply to them. What that also means, though, is that we can expect as our society moves more and more away from God, that our Sundays are going to get busier and busier and busier. I've been warned that our kids will have soccer practice and soccer games on Sunday mornings. And we need to make some decisions about that. But you have to realize that our society will not affirm this practice. So more and more we're going to need to go against the flow and carving out time for rest. Does that make sense? This is something between us and for God. Yeah, you have a question back there. No. Yeah, good question. So the question is, if we don't fulfill it this way, are you a believer or not? And here's something that's really important to understand, that these practices aren't conditional to become a believer or to be a believer. We talked about a few weeks ago that when God said this, when he gave these practices to the people, he already said, I've saved you. He said, you are my chosen people. I have already saved you from Egypt. I've already taken you through the wilderness. I like this. Let's make an agreement for the future. And so he's saying, I've saved you so far. I want to continue in this relationship. Here's what I'll do for you. Here's what you want to do to show your commitment to me. So it's not a Christian, non-Christian thing. It's a way of practicing an agreement between people and God. And we can talk more afterward. That's a great question. So we can talk more afterwards about the specifics of that. But we're not talking about conditional salvation. This is a response to God's goodness. Does that make sense? He's saying, I love you. Let's keep it this. Let's keep it going. So I want to challenge you guys to start taking this commandment seriously, this practice seriously. Instead of saying, I don't have time this week for church, or I don't have time to take time off, or I don't have time to rest, I want you to say, you know what, this is a practice I want to implement in my life. You know, if you don't practice this on your own, your body will force it on you, like I said. Your family will feel the effects of it. The strain will feel stronger and stronger. So this is a gift. Do it for your own benefit. God gave you the Sabbath as a gift. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for us. Amen? Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to transition to taking communion. Some people call it the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. Jesus celebrated this meal. He had dinner with his friends on a Thursday evening. The next day, he was going to be arrested and crucified. And so he spent time with his followers. As they were eating, he stopped the meal and he took some bread. And as they were sitting around a table, he broke it. And he looked around at his followers and he said, this bread represents my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we do this to remember what Jesus did for us. If we don't stop to remember things like this, we forget and we take God's sacrifice for granted. This is our chance to just stop and say, thank you, Jesus. You loved me so much, God, that you sent your Son to become one like us, to show us what it means to follow you, but also to save us from our sins. And so the disciples took this bread and ate it. And ever since then, 2,000 years later, churches all over the world are celebrating this meal to remember Jesus' goodness to us. Then Jesus took wine, he poured wine, and he had his followers drink it. He said, this is the blood, my blood shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. I don't think the disciples at the time knew what Jesus was about to do, but they saw it the next day. They saw Jesus' body broken, whipped, bloodied. They saw his blood shed. They began to realize the importance of this meal. They didn't want anyone to forget. And so we celebrate this meal this morning. Now, there are a few things you can do right now to prepare for this meal. It's a chance for you to just reflect on your life right now and say, God, how am I doing with you? Is there anything I need to ask your forgiveness for right now? Is there a sin I've been hiding, Lord, that I need to confess to you? I want to give that to you. Another way to just refocus is to ask God, God, is there anyone I'm holding a grudge towards right now? Is there anyone I'm not right with or I'm not forgiving? You know, if that person's in this room, you may want to take some time as we have communion to go up and ask for forgiveness. That'd be a great way to remember Christ who forgave you for all your sins on the cross. But it's a time to stop and evaluate. This is a time to stop and say, God, have I made a decision to follow you yet? Am I just window shopping, God, or am I giving my life to you? The scripture says to not take this meal inappropriately. And that means if you're not a follower of Jesus, don't take this meal for granted. What you need to do this morning is give your life to Jesus. He says, this is a gift. Come, receive me, make me your forgiver and your leader. And then take this meal to celebrate that.